intergalactic mercenaries, and welcome to Bare Naked Reviews. I'm Rishi B, and I'm here with Karthik.
Oh, well, I'll just say Return of the Karthik.
Oh, yeah, hey. I'm here with Return of the Karthik. Return of the Karthik. And we're reviewing Star Wars till it's bare naked. This is just a general review of Star Wars, essentially of our thoughts after watching Rogue One, which just came out like 2 weeks ago. It already feels like a year. considering the level of opinions and stuff that have come out online. So this is just a lot of different topics about basically the Star Wars franchise in general and kind of like where the franchise is headed into the future and our thoughts on that. Before we get into it, though, I want to let you know that you can be a guest of honor on this show. You can. And you can pick a topic of the future for a future episode. That's right. By giving feedback via email to barenakedreviews@gmail.com, or you like my Facebook page, and then after you like it, so that's that thumbs button, right? I don't have to tell you how to like things. You have to look at posts that I have on there and like or share them, or do the similar thing on the YouTube account, or sends tweets to @barenakedrevs. And a reminder that all episodes of Bare Naked Reviews at this point can be found on rishib.com. All right, Karthik, no more beating around the bush. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's talk about what first got you into Star Wars. So for me, I have a very fond memory of a house party at a family friend's parents' place. I was the only kid there. I was probably around like 10 or 11, and I was the only kid. They kind of pushed me away from all the adults and everything, and they pushed me into a room that had a TV in it, and they like shuffled around their closet looking for stuff to put on the TV just to distract me so they can all drink and do whatever adults do. They pulled out those, I think it was the 25th anniversary gold edition of the original trilogy.
Oh man.
And they just put them all in and let it rip. So it actually took me a second because, you know, when you're watching the original trilogy, even at that point, so that would have been like early 2000s for me. I was just like, oh man, this looks so dated. What am I watching here? But by the time like I got midway into A New Hope, I was just like hook, line, and sinkered. And then Empire Strikes Back starts, and I'm immediately like, oh my god, this is like how is not everyone talking about this? And you know, this is before the internet. And then after I got the internet, I see everyone's talking about it. How about you? How was your experience into getting into Star Wars?
It started with a car fuse. Mm. So, all right. So, I somehow got a hold of an old car fuse, and it shaped, oddly enough, like the Millennium Falcon. And they said, oh, that looks like the Millennium Falcon. So I just picked it up one day. It must have been like 4 or 5 years old. And I'm like, what the hell is a Millennium Falcon? And then my mom realized, holy shit, this kid's never seen Star Wars. Sat me down, watched it, and I was just immediately like, it just like grabbed me by the just shirt collar and said, love me, please love me. And I'm like, oh my god, this movie's amazing. But
you're right, I will love you.
Yeah, I will. Let's just get married and run away and be nerdy together, please.
So you were like 4 or 5, you said?
Yeah, I was like four or five years old, so that would have put me at like 1991.
Okay.
And I didn't realize that there were two more movies after I watched A New Hope until I was like maybe 10. And then I saw Empire Strikes Back. I'm like, hey, that guy with the weird shaped helmet and dark suit looks familiar. Oh my god, there was more movies after New Hope?
Mind blown.
Yeah, and so I ended up watching it, and then watching Return of the Jedi, and right around that time, they re-released all three movies again in the movie theater. So my mom had seen it when she was a teenager, and so I got to kind of, you know, she got to live through that again as an adult with me as a kid watching those movies with me in the movie theater again. And I just remember people would come dressed up as characters. they were handing out, you know, like special action figures at the movie theater, you know, limited edition, special release stuff. Yeah. I remember going as Darth Vader or being Darth Vader for Halloween, like 3 or 4 Halloweens well into high school.
Oh boy.
So I was like not embarrassed to be nerding out on Star Wars. So yeah.
So is your mom super into Star Wars?
Yeah. I mean, she was the one that kind of got me into, she was the one that got me into it, you know, plain and simple. She was the one, you know, making Darth Vader and use the Force references all the time.
Right.
Yeah. So she totally got me into it. My dad hates it. He thinks it's like the dumbest series ever.
Yeah.
But he's not a big sci-fi fan to begin with. So it's not a good barometer, but.
Right. But we don't talk about him. All right, so Rogue One just came out, and this is a great way to put it, and all credit goes to Karthik for putting it this way. So what was your shoot from the hip opinion on Rogue One? Your Han shot first opinion.
I immediately after it was over was, I love it. And I was ecstatic after watching it. I was so content and happy. There was no like major criticism. There were no major flaws immediately after watching it. I mean, yeah, some of the acting was a little questionable. Some of the, maybe the pacing was a little off here and there. Maybe the editing wasn't done perfectly. But the overall arc of the story and the character archetypes just were perfect.
Right.
Honestly, the way I feel about it is this is the movie that I wish was released before The Force Awakens. I feel like this was a perfect combination of bringing Star Wars fans back into the universe. But I'll reserve my opinion about The Force Awakens once we start
jumping
talking
the
about
gun
that
a little bit. No, that's cool.
Yeah. I Han shot too much this time.
Yeah, he's dead. Guido's dead, Karthik. Let it go. And I thought it was great. So my only like negatives came midway watching it. So you were hoping to see like how the rebellion got started and how the resistance, that whole group, so how that got started. In particular for me, I was always interested in, you know, this is a resistance effort from the New Hope perspective. You see the rebels, they're camped around in this little army base that has all this, where they have the whole map of the universe in this little hologram thing in the center, and everyone's like sitting around it.
Mm-hmm.
How did they all get there? And so that's kind of what I was hoping from Rogue One. I don't feel I got that, because as soon as Jyn Erso was pulled into when she was like taken by the rebels and freed from the Empire's imprisonment, they were already in their little rebellion army war room thing. And the only other negative I had while watching it was I just felt like there was like zero character development from any of the side characters. I thought they did okay with Cassian Andor and Jyn Erso. But then everyone else is just sort of like jumping all in into stealing the Empire's plans on the Death Star. But that wasn't enough to really taint my liking of the movie.
And bear with me on this. This might be a horrible comparison, but parts of me felt the same way with Saving Private Ryan. And I only bring this comparison up is that in Saving Private Ryan, we get one movie to get attached to these characters. With Rogue One, the characters, I enjoy the character archetypes more than I do the actual characters themselves. Do you think this movie could have actually used a Skrull, a beginning Skrull? Now that I look back on it, they kind of should have done that. They could have introduced the major plot points that we're discussing now.
Well, and so it's funny that I'm bringing this up, talking about bringing up random movies and tying it to Star Wars. But I just watched Die Hard, and Die Hard set up John McClane's story literally with one line in the beginning, in the very first scene of the movie. But what I was taken by that was, in action movies, they're really about action. They're not about character development. So I think you have to set up your expectations accordingly. Right. But also in action movies, it really doesn't take a whole lot to give a backstory. Like one line or a couple lines can actually say a lot. In Rogue One's case, I think there was too much of an effort made to put in Easter eggs to the New Hope or to Luke Skywalker's upbringing, where Jyn Erso's whole backstory is essentially kind of very similar to Luke Skywalker's. You know, her parents were farmers, basically. There was blue milk in her house before she had to leave her house. You know what I mean? Like,
right, right. There's a weird nomadish man that ends up saving her or helping
her.
Right,
yeah. I do think it's a fault for Rogue One to try to connect too much stuff, but at the same point, I'm okay with it.
Immediately after watching it, I thought, oh, this is the movie that we needed instead of The Force Awakens. I mean, at least the plot. This is the plot we needed to bring old and new Star Wars fans into the franchise and say, hey, we still, you know, old fans, we're still with you, man. We're trying to make up for the prequels, and new fans, hey, look, there's some new stuff that's going on. And,
yeah,
you know,
so
check out this cool story, and maybe we can be friends.
So this ties in nicely to our next point, the Disney purchase. good or bad? Rogue One and The Force Awakens were basically announced at the same time after Disney purchased the Star Wars franchise from Lucasfilms. So I had to remember that as I was watching Rogue One, as I was seeing R2-D2 and C-3PO briefly there, and you know, seeing the blue milk and seeing her parents were farmers. And then basically the last third of the movie was taking the ending of New Hope and then playing around in that story a little bit, changing some of the stuff, keeping your fish character who yells at the screen, instead of, it's a trap, bring in the hammerhead or whatever. both of these movies were announced at the same time. So we were talking a little bit before, Karthik. This is kind of my axe to grind that I have here regarding the Star Wars franchise. So even young people and people who haven't watched Star Wars at all, they know the Star Wars prequels were terrible. Like, that's something that's just culturally known.
Right.
So when you're buying this franchise and now you're setting the way to make new movies in this, that's a cultural thing that you have to fight. And so because of that, I think that it's a good business decision for Disney to basically restart the franchise, but doing that, reminding fans of what they love about Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I don't blame The Force Awakens for basically being New Hope and Rogue One being an original story, but basically taking New Hope and mixing it around a little bit.
It kind of questions the entire structure of Star Wars films to begin with. With the only caveat being Empire Strikes Back. And with Star Wars films, I mean, let me think now, 5, maybe 6 movies now in the Star Wars franchise all have a ground battle or a space battle going on at the same time.
Right.
And sometimes they throw in a wrinkle where there's a ground battle, space battle, and a lightsaber battle going on at the same time.
Right.
So there's only so many combinations of I guess, story elements that can be included. I mean, Empire Strikes Back tossed that thing on its head and said, yeah, your favorite characters blew up a weapon of mass destruction in the first one. Now they're going to get their shit rocked because, you know, the Empire is serious now and they're going to hunt these mofos down. And with Force Awakens, my opinion of Force Awakens, after I had time to digest Rogue One, completely changed. So The Force Awakens, I first watched it, I'm like, great movie, really enjoyed seeing, you know, all this get updated. The graphics looked great. The acting was great. It brought back everything that I really enjoyed about Star Wars. Yeah, it was a complete rehash for the most part of A New Hope. But every time there's been a major movement in human history, let's just take the Nazis, for instance. There's still neo-Nazis. And these guys are trying to bring back some of that flair and drama from the original Nazis. That's the same thing that happened with the First Order. They're trying to bring back the flair and drama of the first of the Empire.
Right.
And they end up the same way. They try to build a super weapon to bring back some of that nostalgia. And what do people, most people do is they thrive off of nostalgia. Oh, back in the good old days. And that's what the First Order is trying to do. So I don't, well, my opinion of The Force Awakens completely changed when I put it in that context.
Like it improved your opinion. Is that what you're saying?
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. Initially I was very lukewarm about it. Haha. Lukewarm about it.
Hey, get it?
Give that man a hand.
Hey. Yeah, and they put out enough out there where I feel like they don't have to redo one movie story anymore. Like I got to the point that you got now on The Force Awakens. I got there a little bit after watching The Force Awakens and sort of just accepting that I think what they were visually doing by exploding this the modern version of Death Star that explodes multiple planets and killing off Han Solo. Like, yeah. I thought killing Han Solo was a very big visual thing to show people.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we're in old stuff, but we're not afraid to move on to new stuff. And so basically just hold on to your butts, Jurassic Park. we're throwing Samuel Jackson in here. Hold on to your butts, because I think shit can get darker, and we have the Snoke guy who's got a huge head, and who knows what his huge head is going to do to all of you.
Who knows? I mean, it could block out the sun.
It could block out the sun. We'll all freeze to death.
we could all go blind because there's so much light shining off of it. You know, we don't know. And the other part too is like they took a page out of Game of Thrones book is, hey, anyone can die. And we were all shocked, at least I was shocked, with Obi-Wan Kenobi in A New Hope. Well, here's this old guy that's, you know, kind of mystical, and, you know, maybe he's going to be a mentor to Luke throughout the entire movie. And then they killed a guy in the first, like, 40 minutes or an hour. I'm like, what the hell? This is a Han Solo. I mean, he is a beloved character in Star Wars mythos.
Mm-hmm.
And without him, I mean, the rest of the movies could feel incomplete.
Well, I mean, I think you had to. You had to do that in order to move on. Rogue One and The Force Awakens, I kind of see them as kind of a yin and yang, but serving a similar whole, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it is too reiterative. Honestly, Star Wars hits such a tone, and I think that's kind of what happens. It hits such a nostalgic bone in your body that I think it's great when you see all these things. And I'm just excited to see something new but still hitting that bone, and I'm gonna get a boner for it. That's what I'm saying.
Are you saying your lightsaber is gonna be ignited for
my
it?
Lightsaber,
is that what you're trying to say?
Wow.
Well, there's one more point about nostalgia is oftentimes people will look back on nostalgia and say it was so much better than the good old days.
Yeah.
And I think people watching The Force Awakens and Rogue One that were as young as you and I were the first time we saw Star Wars are going to look back and say, man, those movies were great.
That's what I hope.
Yeah.
I think that's what Disney wanted to do. I mean, the prequels, you know, you're making three movies. You don't want all that investment to go down to be remembered as being shitty. And unfortunately, you know, there's prequel defenders out there, but unfortunately they're remembered for being shitty. Like, that's just a fact. Like,
right.
So when you're talking about having a successful franchise, but you're starting off from shit, and Lucasfilm, I was looking at their catalog, and basically they haven't done anything of note since 1988 or something like that. And,
jeez.
And it's just, you know, how can you blame Disney for giving you a reiterative Force Awakens and reiterative Rogue One?
And honestly, with the well, yet to be seen how good the new Spider-Man movie is going to be, and, you know, the X-Men movies of recent have been better than they were.
Okay.
Disney kind of resuscitated Marvel and resuscitated Star Wars, if you ask me. That's my opinion.
Yeah. But this is all subject to change. For me, a lot of everything hinges on 8. I feel like 8 is a chance to Disney to say, hey, look what we did. 7 and Rogue One, which I lovingly call 3.75, because by the time it ends, you're basically one day before New Hope, maybe even the same day.
Right.
7 and 3.75, we could potentially go onto this upslope of just like awesomeness, like taking all this Star Wars-ness and just taking it into new areas, hopefully making new weapons and stuff. Like, let's get some sniper shooters out there or something. Let's just blow this up. Let's add new things. The opportunities are endless, basically, with 8, I feel like. And so I'm going to revise all my opinions after watching 8, which it's supposed to be darker, but you know, who knows what that means.
Right. Absolutely. Who knows what any of that means?
Yeah. Yahoo! Go get them, kid! I just wanted to interject here just for a second and remind all of you that you can get more Bare Naked reviews at rishibee.com. I have a review of presidential elections, a review of The Thing, and I even have a comedy competition between Simpsons, Family Guy, and South Park. I want to take a moment here for Carrie Fisher. Karthik and I recorded this episode before she had died, so we didn't get a chance to talk about her passing. She was very recently the American guy's mom in the Amazon-only show Catastrophe. An excellent comedy made much more excellent, like a plethora of things, including Star Wars, because of Carrie Fisher. A quick note to all listeners to make sure to like the Bare Naked Reviews Facebook page. And on there, I asked everyone what's their favorite Star Wars moment. Fan of the show Rick, he said his favorite Star Wars moment was the showdown lightsaber battle in Return of the Jedi, where Luke found a different way to fight after he cut off Darth Vader's robot arm. Friends of the show Bradley and Brian both mentioned the Battle of Hoth from Empire Strikes Back as their favorite Star Wars moment. And quite a few people, including Karthik, mentioned the lightsaber battle at the end of Phantom Menace between Ewan McGregor, Liam Neeson, and Darth Maul. Brian mentioned this fight scene has the best song of the series, which is Duel of the Fates. By the way, if anyone is coming in contact with me soon, I just want you to know that my doctor told me I contracted the Darth Plagueis. Yeah, I got that when I was at the Darth Maul. Anyways, thank you all so very much for listening and for your feedback. I love you so much that I just want to get bare naked.
And honestly, with Rogue One and focusing on that, the rumor slash story goes is that they had to do a lot of reshoots for it because there were some, you know, terrorist plots. There were some, it was a much darker, you know, true war movie than what we saw in the theater. I would love to see that first cut that had to get reshot.
Yeah,
because I think I would have hands down said this is the best Star Wars movie after Empire.
Maybe
hands down.
Yeah. So I read an article where the director, I think his name was Gareth Edwards. He commented on that because the internet was blowing up on this. They were piecing what was put of the first take in trailers like a year ago or something, or maybe less than a year ago. And piecing all that together to kind of make a hypothesis on what the first take was looked like and how it ended. So Gareth Edwards was commenting that he didn't think that Disney wanted to kill off all the characters, but that's what he thought should happen. But he thought that Disney wouldn't go for that. So in the original ending, Jyn Erso was supposed to live. And I think there's one where Jyn and Cassian ends up living. There's one where no one ends up dying or something like that. Based off of the notes that he got where Disney was like, yeah, kill them all. We don't care about them. They're not in 8. And so Forrest Whitaker is not coming back. This is it for Forrest. he went ahead and killed everyone. And he said that it ended up making the movie better.
Okay, completely agree. I mean, that made me feel like the entire situation was desperate. And I want to point out one thing with everyone dying. There were 3 squadrons, I believe, that attacked Scarif. Or Scarif, sorry, I keep mispronouncing it, Scarif, the planet that holds all the technical documents for the for the Empire.
The Indian IT company,
Yeah, exactly. So there's Blue Squadron, there's Red Squadron, and Gold Squadron. What is amazing about this, and I love the attention to detail, is that the squadron leaders for Red and Gold are the same squadron leaders in A New Hope.
Right.
They are building this world now, or at least bridging the world, saying, yeah, these guys were already part of a planetary assault. And so they go in that with that same familiarity, that experience when they attack the Death Star. And if I remember correctly from the movie, all of Blue Squadron gets killed or destroyed. All the they get killed in the dogfight. So Blue Squadron is not represented in A New Hope during the first attack on the first Death Star.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, God damn, that is an awesome, bridge. And then I later found out they used stock footage from A New Hope and put it back into Rogue One of Gold Leader and Red Leader. Red 5 gets killed, which ends up being the slot that Luke takes on the Death Star assault. Oh, Wedge Antilles. Wedge is Red 2, if I remember correctly. And he's like kind of, in A New Hope, he's kind of a newer pilot, a little bit more experienced than Luke.
Okay.
And he makes a comment in A New Hope that says, look at the size of that thing when he's approaching the Death Star. Because he wasn't part of the attack on Scarif. So he has no experience or no, barometer on how big the Death Star is. So he's seeing it for the first time.
Yeah.
So all those little details made the movie for me. And I was like, man, this is awesome.
Yeah. I mean, Force Awakens and Rogue One are total boner makers. And I think what basically you and I are saying is we're okay with that.
You're supposed to nerd out a little bit over these things. And, you'll see a lot of, people on the internet saying, shitting all over Force Awakens and Rogue One just because, it didn't have this or it was too much fan service with that. I'm like,
this thing just drives me crazy. So first off, Star Wars has always been about like, look what we can do. Look what we can make all this equipment Hollywood has. Look what we can output with that. Like that's what Star Wars is about. Hey, really have this like awesome idea about intergalactic crap happening in space, and look, I can do that with all this equipment here. And
hey guys, want to make a movie about trade laws and legality, but in space?
No, George, go to your room. Okay, wait, just really quickly on this point. Someone told me about this. Sorry. I haven't actually watched this myself, but apparently there's some footage around of George Lucas explaining the plot of Phantom Menace to, like, a team of writers. And all of them, at the end of it, they were like, what the fuck? Like, what are you saying? And George Lucas, midway through the thing... you could see him realizing that his story that he's come up with sucks, but he's like angry at the writers for not like licking his balls basically, and so he's just like yelling the end, like he's yelling by the end of it, like at everyone,
God.
Like, what's wrong with you people? This is amazing. It's Star Wars. You have to love me.
Oh my God. So was it kind of like the scene in that South Park episode where I forgot the context for that entire episode, but I just remember a bunch of movie directors coming in and explaining stuff.
Right,
and
right.
Depicting what they're going to do.
Yeah, Mel Gibson comes in. And but just a fine point, my thoughts here. Like, George Lucas is basically a nerdy Michael Bay. Like, I just think, like, it's like boom and oh, cool, this villain, he breeds. You know, he has these obvious flaws, like he... breathes really loudly and he needs like a respirator machine as he's walking around, but look what he could do with his hands, and he doesn't even have to touch you to suffocate you. Like, oh man, it's like so awesome.
Are we talking about Darth Vader or sex service?
What's happening here? I check myself when I'm thinking about like, oh, I could have went for more character development. Like, I just saw Darth Vader rip the shit out of the rebels with Do you remember that? My favorite part by far.
Oh my god!
So all the rebels are there in that dark tunnel area, and then Darth Vader, he turns on his lightsaber. I was like, damn, the game don't change, y'all. I was like, holy shit.
And that was when, like, so the entire movie felt like a desperate struggle, right?
Yeah.
The rebellion is struggling, and how do they fight against this massive boot of the Empire about to crush these ants?
Yep.
And that was a scene that solidified it for me. I'm like, oh my god, he's just gonna rip through these people.
The rebels were like shitting their pants. I was like, holy shit, man, this is just so gangster. I was like, damn.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to point out that George Lucas, I think, was directed the first one and then the prequels. Right. And then the other two, he's a great writer and he has a great attention to detail. But I think as far as a director goes, he's not that strong. Everything is too literal for him. There's not enough nuance. Yeah. So, yeah, that's kind of final point on how Disney has handled it. I'm glad they brought in, you know, J.J. Abrams to, you know, kind of kickstart it. He you know, arguably did a great job kickstarting the new Star Trek franchise.
And his job was to exactly that, kickstart it. His job His job was partly to reset the franchise and take it to a new place, but his job was mostly to get people back into the theaters for a Star Wars movie and have them leave the theater and then leave positive reviews online of it. And kill the box office, like, and he did that, so mission successful.
One thing that I really appreciated about Rogue One was the define evil or define good, because I think Captain Cassian, he says something, you know, a lot of things are done in a war that are, you know, ultimately good, but you have to do a lot of evil things to get there.
Right.
And I think that it clears away the black and white that used to be in Star Wars and has introduced these many, 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 many shades of gray in between in between that black and white. I mean, you look at the color motifs for Star Wars, the rebels are all browns and greens and, you know, clean cut, you know, to some extent. And then the Imperials are all black, white, and gray. And that's the only color schemes they live in.
Right. That's a point that I think the prequels were trying to get to. Where you start off with young Anakin being this cute little boy who's a terrible actor.
And then you go all the way to, in my perspective, the Jedi are bad.
right. Yeah. And you know, there's actually a lot of room for future, for hopefully this current trilogy to take that to where it needs to go. George Lucas, when he's in charge of story and stuff, it's very blunt. So, you know, there's a kid. The villain is his dad. Yeah. Gotcha. Got him.
Got him.
Got him.
Which is crazy, because the parts of myths and legends that he pulled to make Star Wars are all so nuts, like such nuanced, you know, stories. I mean, he pulled
these nuts
so much stuff from Japanese samurai films, where there was a code of honor, but then, you know, there was a choice that had to be made, and there's nuances in those choices, and and then he goes, and when he writes, it's like you said, like the nerdy Michael Bay. And then there's a space battle, and then there's a giant donut thing, giant orange that shoots laser beams, and it's like, what?
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, well, I think we totally killed it with Star Wars talk.
Obviously. Blew it up like Alderaan.
Karthik, I have this giant wheel here. Do you mind going to the other side and helping me lift it and carry it over here? The wheel of game time?
you know, you keep moving this thing, and I keep having to move it over. So, yes.
Karthik, stop bitching about it. Go over to that closet. Help me with this wheel.
Rishi, use the force to move it, please.
Okay, here we go. I'm using the force. I'm using the force. Yeah, use the force, too. There is no try. There's only do. Okay, here we go.
The wheel of game time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay, got it. Perfect.
Got done. Easy.
Got done. Right,
Luke, you little bitch. Can't move that shit in your first try.
All right, I'm going to spin this wheel. Okay. And it looks like the game that we're going to play, the Wheel of Game Time, which game are we going to play? Oh, it looks like Karthik, we're wrapping. What?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Like wrapping presents?
Yeah. It is Christmas time. Yeah, let's make a little extra money wrapping some presents. No, we have a little wrap here that Karthik and I put much more thought into it than I think either of us thought we were going to. Karthik, thank you very much for joining me and doing the wrap, the Sith wrap. Star Wars,
come on, boys.
You put your gosh damn
Oh, gosh darn. Oh, no. I messed it up. I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay, take two. Star Wars,
you put your gosh darn clothes back on. Put your clothes back on.
Put your clothes back on. Oh, yeah. Look at all the ladies feel our lightsabers. Dark side.
Sith rap.
Watch out, the Siths are coming at ya. Look for us with this lightning thunder. Yeah, send it how you like us now. We make all the R-droids go.
Tell Jabba, Greedo, Wampa. Tell that little imp lurking in Dagobah. Death Star's making kills, showing off my Sith skills.
Vader, I have a scratch on my back. Could you use the force for that? Just one Sith to Sith, Sith to Sith.
Hey Luke, give me a hand with that. Yo rebels, it's a trap. Boba Fett, no disintegrations.
Sith rap, Sith rap.
All too easy.